Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
So we have to protect it. But to protect it, we're going to have to battle against the devil. And we're going to have to battle against our own flesh. To live in step with God, to walk His paths, we're going to have to protect it, battling against the devil and battling against our flesh. Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh says, cannot please God. If we don't beat that sucker back every day, oh, he'll catch up to us real fast. It doesn't take a whole long time or a whole lot of unintentionality to drift far from the intentionality you once promised the Lord you would have in your life.
Every day, you battle a war between your flesh and spirit. As you listen to today's message from Pastor Pete, he shares with you the importance of devoting time to spend with the Lord. When you fellowship with God in your days and weeks, your spirit side is more able to rise. When you choose to be saturated in the cares of this world, it's more likely that your flesh will take the driver's seat. Pastor Pete encourages you to continue growing in the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible reading, and fasting. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 27 as he continues part two of his message, The Prudent Path.
The prudent path or the prudent person does two things. The first is they have the ability to see or perceive. They can see what's happening around them. They can perceive when there's danger approaching. We said that the wise man does at the beginning what a fool only does at the end, because again, the wise or the prudent have eyes to see. We said, secondly, that the wise man or the prudent man or woman has the ability to pivot. When needed, they can change course or change direction. They don't just see what's about to happen, but they see it, and then they do something about it. That's where we're going to pick up. So not only do they change course or direction, today we're going to continue there in verse 12, and we're going to talk about the reality that we need to protect some things in our life. There need to be some areas of our life that we shelter and protect. Here's what our verse says. The prudent sees danger and he hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The prudent sees danger and hides himself. That word there for hides, it means to cover up. It means to protect. It means to shelter and protect yourself from whatever is coming your way. Last week, our big idea was that we need to seek the prudent path, or the other option is we're going to walk a painful path. And that continues to be our big idea for today as we continue in this text. If we don't protect some important things in our life, it's going to be painful. Amen? If we don't protect the fragile things in our life, it's going to hurt when they get hit or bumped or stuck or stabbed. It's going to hurt. And so we have got to protect those things. So today I'm going to give you a list of four things that I've decided in my life. If I'm going to be prudent, I've got to protect these things. And I just want to tell you here right at the beginning, I don't want you just by default to make this list your list. I mean, I think it's a good list because I made it. But it doesn't have to be your list. I think it probably should, but I don't want you just by default to make it your list. I really want you and your spouse to wrestle with this idea or this concept more than just to take what I'm going to tell you and try to make that yours by default. And the reason I want you to wrestle with it, and the reason I want you to think about it, is because I really want you to process the concept here around what God is saying and around the importance of being prudent more than just saying, oh, here's another list of checkboxes. If I do these four things, my life is going to be better, or my life is going to be great. I believe it would be, but I believe that that's only really going to work if you take the time to process it. Let me also say that I have a list longer than four. I just don't have enough time in today's sermon to give you the rest of the list, okay? So your list should be longer than four as well, and I'm trusting that you have enough spiritual maturity to continue the process after we're done here today and identify the most important areas of your life that you as a prudent man or a prudent woman need to protect. So let's talk, point number one, the prudent protect. Let's talk in general about this concept or this idea that if you're a prudent person, you're going to protect the most important areas of your life. The writer said the prudent sees danger and he hides himself. The prudent seek a prudent path. Those who don't walk a painful path. I love what Proverbs 14 verses 15 through 18 says. It says it in kind of a different way, but says the same thing. It says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. He's looking at the path that he or she is walking on. He's thinking about it and considering it. One who is wise, verse 16 says, is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool is reckless and careless. A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. You see, to be considered a prudent person, you must be someone who knows how and what you need to protect. There are things in your life, in my life, that we need to protect. And if you think about it, this even works in our natural world. It works with our bodies, for example. There are a lot of things we protect that are fragile on our bodies, and we just do it by impulse. We do it by instinct, right? Because it's the prudent thing to do. For example, if there's a baseball flying at your face, what do you do? Do you just stand there and smile and take it? No. The first thing your body's going to do is close your eyes. And that's not so you can't see it coming, because that won't fix the problem, will it? But your body knows that your eyes are very fragile, and your body knows that eye needs to be protected. And so it's going to squint and suck them into your head and try to keep those things protected. And then, instinctually, without even thinking about it, you're going to duck or move your head opposite the direction the ball is traveling. You're going to try to get out of the way of it. If you have enough time, you might do one of these and get your hands up, right? That would be the prudent thing to do. You do it instinctually. If you've ever been out there weed eating, I know at my house nobody wants to weed eat. People don't mind so much mowing, but they sure don't want to weed eat. But if you've ever gone out to weed eat, you know, you weren't a prudent person. You didn't put on your safety goggles. I know none of y'all have never done that. But you went out and you got started weed eating and everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see something flying to your face. Without even thinking about it, what do? You close your eyes. And hopefully you do it in time. Because if you don't, you can lose an eye. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I know I have. Ooh, that was close. I better go get those safety goggles. I better go put that on because that could have been really, really bad, right? But you instinctually say, I'm going to protect this because it's fragile. If you've ever been in a fight, you don't fight like this with your hands down. What do? You get your hands up because this part of your body is vulnerable and it's sensitive. And you don't want to get hit in the head, and so you're trying to be ready not only to attack, but also to defend the most vulnerable part of your body. You can take some blows down here, especially if you're big like me, but you don't want to be taking them up on your head or in your nose or your teeth. It's a good way to lose. It's a good way to be defeated. So you protect those most vulnerable parts of your body. Here's another good example. If you've ever been swimming and you swallowed a little bit of water and it went down the wrong pipe and it got into your lungs and you started hacking and feeling like you were about to drown, what did your body automatically do? Started kicking and it started paddling and it started heading to the shallow end where you could stand up or the side where you could hold on, right? Or back to the boat if you were out in open water. You instinctually knew, I got to keep my head above water because right now I need oxygen. And if I don't get oxygen, that's not going to be good. Your instincts kick in and you naturally go to protect those things that are vulnerable. It can be hard to protect everything, but we have to protect something, right? You can't protect everything, but you've got to protect those things that are most vulnerable in those situations. Here's my fear, church, and here's what I see a lot of people doing. They wait until the stick is flying at their eye to close their eyes or to go get a pair of goggles. They wait until they're drowning before they say, you know what, maybe we ought to go to the shallow end for a bit, or maybe we ought to hold on to the edge, or maybe we ought to start kicking. See, a prudent person understands that it's better to go ahead and head this off at the pass than to have to deal with it after it's happening in our life. And that's the process I want you and your spouse to go through this week and chew on these things and say, let's make a list of the things we need to protect, the things we need to be disciplined about, the things we are going to identify as sensitive, fragile, important areas of our life that need to be protected. And can I just tell you, you can't protect everything. If you make your list 20, 30, 40 things long, you'll never protect it all. You're going to have to identify the top 5 to 10 things in your life and say, you know what, no matter what, we're protecting these. We're standing on these. These are going to be essentially what they are, is they're your priorities. These are my priorities, and I want you to put them in order from greatest importance to least importance. What's that thing you're going to protect no matter what? That goes in the number one spot. Let me give you my list, and these are in order, okay? Number one, first thing, most important thing, the thing I'm going to protect no matter what is my spiritual life. It's my walk with God. No matter what, that is going at the top of the list. And all of these categories are going to be big, broad categories. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's a lot of stuff inside of that title or that topic, that heading, spiritual life, right? But here's the reality. If I fall out of step with the Lord, that literally affects every other area of my life. It affects my relationships. It affects my ability to do my job as my professional life. It affects my finances. It affects my emotional well-being. It affects my physical well-being. It affects everything. When I fall out of step with the Lord, everything else falls out of step. And so to me, that is the most sensitive, fragile, important thing that I'm saying is number one at the top of my list. I've got to protect that. That means I've got to protect my prayer time. That means I've got to protect my Bible reading time. That means when I come to the Bible, I can't just come to the Bible looking for my next sermon. I'm coming to the Bible looking for Jesus and the Holy Spirit and what does it need to speak to my life. I've got to protect that because it's real easy when you're a preacher to just come and read it for content, material, right? But you've got to read it for yourself. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a disciple. Before I'm a father, I'm a disciple. If I'm not a disciple first, the rest of it falls apart. So I've got to protect that. I've got to protect my study time. I've got to protect the times that I'm going to come together with other people and dive in and dig in deep. I've got to live right in the eyes of the Lord. I've got to be able to go to sleep at night knowing that I've done what God has called me to do. More than anything else, I need to be in step with God and step with Jesus and just full of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you something, church? That does not happen without intentionality. It doesn't happen without commitment. I've been following the Lord now for 30 plus years. And I can tell you still to this day, I've got to intentionally protect this area of my life. Why? Because the devil wants to destroy this. He knows if he can get me to fall here, everything else falls because this touches everything in my life. And it doesn't just touch what's here and now in front of me on earth. It touches eternity too. And so he wants to destroy this and attack this. So I have to have the mindset of, I'm going to protect this. I reflect often on Psalms 37, 23. I love this truth. It says, a person's steps are established by the Lord. I want my steps to be established by the Lord. And he takes pleasure in his way. Though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed because the Lord supports him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging for bread. He is always generous, always lending, and his children are a blessing. I want to make sure that my steps and my days are established by the Lord. But I've got to protect that. When I get in my quiet time, I turn my phone off. I have to. Because if I don't, I guarantee you, the first thing that'll happen, as soon as I hit something that kind of pokes me or prods me or challenges me, that thing's going to ding, beep, vibrate, buzz. Little demon will pop out of it and put a little hologram. I mean, something's going to happen. If I don't turn that distraction off, it's going to pull me away. I've got to protect that time. If I don't, it won't happen. And that goes for every other area of my spiritual life. For the sake of time, I'm not going to give you examples for everything, but it's just the way it is. Proverbs 16:7, when a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I wanted to share this verse with you because I want you to see, you know, he's talking here about enemies, but he's saying when you're right with God, even your enemies get at peace with you. Because that's the thing, this trickles down into everything else in your life. That's why I say I think this should be at the top of your list. I think this ought to be on all of our lists, and it ought to be something we protect no matter what. We're going to spend time with God in His Word, memorizing Scripture, you know, reading Scripture with other people, by ourselves, praying, doing all those things, because it literally touches everything else, even our enemies. It seeps down and trickles through the rest of our life. So we have to protect it. But to protect it, we're going to have to battle against the devil, and we're going to have to battle against our own flesh. To live in step with God, to walk His paths, we're going to have to protect it, battling against the devil and battling against our flesh. Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh says, cannot please God. If we don't beat that sucker back every day, oh, he'll catch up to us real fast. It doesn't take a whole long time or a whole lot of unintentionality to drift far from the intentionality you once promised the Lord you would have in your life. In church, we cannot please God if we're living in the flesh. We have to be walking and living in the Spirit. And that's not going to happen if we don't protect it. This is something the prudent protect, they guard, they give their attention to. And I know this to be true because this is the thing Jesus protected. He was always about God's business. He always protected His relationship with His Father. He always protected His time with the Father. He would leave the masses waiting to be healed or waiting to see another miracle or just waiting to hear Him preach, and He would just disappear into the mountains to be with God. He knew His business was to please the Father, and we need to know that's our business too. John 8:29 says, and this is Jesus, He says, the one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases Him. Do you? Do I? Of course not. I've got some room. I can work on this. I don't know about you, though, but this is the way I want to live. I want to live like Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I want to please the Father. But if I'm going to do that, I've got to make it a priority. It's got to be at the top of my list, and I have to protect it. So I do my best to protect this, and I hope you will too. Again, this is a big, broad area. All of these are big, broad areas. My spiritual walk with the Lord is going to govern my morality, my integrity, my character. It's going to govern my generosity. It's going to govern my spiritual disciplines, as I've already mentioned, many of those. It's going to govern what I do with my time. It's going to even govern how I rest. You know, the Lord said, work for six, rest for one. How many of us are doing that? It's going to govern a lot in our lives when we get in step with Him and we fall into rhythm with Him. But I'm telling you, if you don't protect it, it'll get away from you. And if you don't seek the prudent path, you will walk a painful path. Number two, second thing on my list, is relationships or relational. It's another huge category. It's one that requires great attention and effort, one that requires great discipline to protect. And this is a very sensitive area. It's a very vulnerable area. It's an area I know the enemy wants to attack. And if I don't protect it, he will destroy it. So what would be included in this area of my life? Well, obviously my marriage, my kids, my parents, the people I work with and serve with here at our church, my friends, my neighbors, all of you are going to be in this because even though we may not be best friends, we have a relationship. It even includes my enemies, people who don't like me. And I know some of y'all are thinking, there's somebody who doesn't like you? Oh my goodness. I'm glad y'all get the sarcasm. But of course, we all have people we don't get along with for one reason or another, or we've gotten cross with for one reason or another. But you know what? I still have a relationship with them. May not be a good one, but it's a relationship, and I've got to do my part to protect it. I love what Paul says in Romans 12, 17, and 18. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. He says, give careful thought. Consider your path, consider what you're doing, give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. And then he says this in verse 18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, you do your part to make the relationship as best it can be. Give careful thought, give careful attention, intentionality. Watch your steps when it comes to your relationship. Pay attention. Protect this area of your life. Do what the prudent person does. Because if you don't seek the prudent path with your relationships, guess what path you're going to walk? the painful path. That's right. Now, some of you might want to put this at the top of your list. I get it. It's a strong temptation, but I would encourage you not to, because when you really think about it, if you start putting people above God, that creates a lot of problems in your life, doesn't it? And we know it does because we see it all the time. I know, you know, we want to say God's my number one priority. I'm trying to please God. I'm protecting that. I'm doing what God wants me to do. We say that a lot with our mouths, but then our actions tend to say people are more important to God than God really is. Many people put people above God. You can say God's first in your life all day long, but if your actions don't prove it, I mean, it's not hard to see that he's not. Let me give you an example of why this is dangerous, why it's dangerous to put people above God. And this is just one example. Again, we could give many. We just don't have time. But I promise you this, if you start putting people above God, there's going to come a point or a time in your life when you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to make a choice to do something to someone you don't like so that you can help someone or bless someone that you do like. And that may not be what God wants you to do. But because you put people above God, you're going to do what helps you, what makes you look good, what helps somebody that can help you, or what will bless somebody that can bless you, rather than doing what God has called you to do. And that's just one of 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 different traps we can fall into if we make people the priority above God. Even our children, even our spouses. If we prioritize them over God, it affects how we see things, how we make decisions. It affects everything, which is why I say God has to be at the top. The result of getting your priorities out of line, the result of even just swapping two like this, can really produce a lot of problems in your life, which is why our spiritual life must always be at the top.
You've been listening to One to Another, and we're glad you were here with us today. Did you know that the messages you're hearing are airing locally, but also across the nation? This is only made possible by our wonderful listeners, like you. One to Another Radio is listener-supported, and that means we rely on financial support to allow these teachings to be heard near and far. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this radio ministry and becoming part of the financial team of One to Another? For any first-time donations this month, we'd like to bless you with a gift of the month. That way, we can show our sincere appreciation for your heart to give to the ministry. Go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. While you're there, you'll notice a wealth of resources that Gwen is going to discuss a little more.
At onetoanotherradio.org, there are all kinds of things that will feed your spiritual appetite. Just go to the Resources tab and you'll find several books that Pastor Pete has written. One or more of those might be just what you need to read as it relates to what you're going through. Also, on the website's main page, you can scroll down to the bottom to find out if there are any upcoming trips planned. Pastor Pete regularly takes groups to the Holy Land and other interesting places for biblical tours. If this interests you, take some time to think and pray about whether this is something that God would be leading you into. Once more, all of these opportunities and resources are detailed for you at onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil again to close the show.
Thanks, Gwen. The Holy Land can be such a fascinating journey to experience. The path you're walking may be leading you right to the place of being ready for this. If you have additional questions, feel free to call us at 830-769-3733. Once more, give us a call at 830-769-3733. Thanks so much for listening today to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic. Join us next time as Pastor Pete will continue teaching through this series, imparting wisdom and sharing God's truths, asking you to bring a heart that's overflowing with the value and appreciation of who God is as he sticks with us on this path. So don't miss the next edition. We can't wait to connect with you again as we learn what it means to follow God all the days of our lives. Thanks for listening to One to Another.